Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning, to worship with you, to be gathered in the name of Jesus. And I bring you greetings from Central Pennsylvania, a little church at State College, Pennsylvania. And some of you, it's a privilege to see you again. My wife and I guess last time we were here, we brought our daughter along. A year and a half ago, we came through and just did an awareness presentation. So some of you were here for that. There's something about organizations, institutions that tend to get a lot of attention. But I want to bless you this morning. The person who serves in administration with All Nations Bible Translation, for instance, like myself, doesn't have necessarily a more important or fulfilling or central role in the work of the kingdom. You as a congregation, as you are brothers and sisters together ministering to one another, and through that and out of that ministering to the people around you, and blessing and sending from among you, you're the people. You are the church. This is where God is. We don't look for God to show up in some institution that we set up. We look for God to bless through His church. And we as an organization are here to serve you as you serve Him. And we are blessed to know one of your sisters God has brought to you, and God has brought her into our lives as well, Sister Ayana. And thank you for the support and love that I just say this on her behalf. It's kind of backwards, I guess. For me to represent her, but we can tell that you are her family. And as Ayana plans to go and be abroad, and she's not thinking of going and giving a couple of years into some foreign work. She's thinking of giving her life, and she still needs you to be her family. So, I'm here not to take the attention, but to just encourage you as brothers and sisters. And then what I'm going to do is begin with this message time. Half of it, approximately, the first part will be just giving you a little bit of a update presentation about All Nations Bible Translation. And then I want to move into sharing with you some points of encouragement as a sending congregation. So to introduce you, just real briefly, review what All Nations Bible Translation is, I'm going to do that by breaking the name up into two parts. There's a reason for the name. And so beginning with All Nations, why All Nations? And I love where you all are at in your study in Acts. Maybe talk more about that later. But we're familiar with the fact that Jesus uses this term in His Great Commission, as we call it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, that statement, that command, as we read it in the King James, could be just as well translated otherwise, something like this: as you're going, make disciples of all nations. Where you go, where you are, as you go, make disciples. Now, is this the first time? Is Jesus bringing up a new idea here about all nations? And the answer is no. We can go all the way back to where God first began to choose one nation, and we see him saying to Abraham, he says, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. He repeated that again to Abraham several times. In you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we're told in the New Testament that that is the blessing through Jesus. But all through the Old Testament, there are encounters with people from other nations. Naaman, who became a worshiper of Jehovah. Ruth, Rahab, and more. What about the Magi who came to worship? The newborn king of the Jews, and so forth. Just going to another rendition of Jesus' words at the end of his time on earth, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Do a search on that little phrase sometime. All through the prophets, the Psalms, it's there. It's not a New Testament idea. Here's one from the prophets. Malachi, he says, God says, my name will be great among the nations. He doesn't just say, my name will be great among the nations. It's a beautiful quote, similar to one in the Psalms. God says, for from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. The same word as nations. In every place, incense shall be offered in my name and a pure offering. In every place, not Jerusalem, but in every place. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Now, where does the sun rise and where does the sun set? And how much of the earth does that encompass? From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great. And God says, in all of those places that encompasses, there will be praise, incense, worship, a pure offering coming to the God who is worthy. The second part is Bible translation. Why Bible translation? Not sure where I can stand to be out of the way of the most of you, so you girls, welcome to move on over this direction if that helps. You see, there are many people who yet can't open a Bible and read it because the scripture for them is still under chains. It's locked away in a foreign script, a foreign tongue, a tongue that is not their own. It might be one that they can manage, but many times it's not one that is their own tongue. Why is it important for us to get the scripture to them? We'll just briefly run through Romans 10 and think about what Paul says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. He's quoting from Psalm 19, David's statement about nature giving testimony to God. And there's no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. It doesn't matter whether someone has translated scripture into your language or not. Even if Wycliffe and Tyndale and all those men had never given us an English Bible, we could know that there is a God, a creator, to whom we're accountable. So that, Paul says, we're without excuse. But the rest of the story still needs to be told. Creation can't tell the rest of the story. It doesn't matter how many signs God shows in the sky. Creation, the testimony of nature, will not tell the story of a God who became man and invites us to receive himself into our lives. So Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. This is the impetus behind Bible translation. Paul goes on with whosoever, whether they're on the east, on the west, eastern hemisphere, western hemisphere, south or north, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. But how are they going to know? How are they going to call on him they haven't believed? And there's this chain in Romans. that ends right here with how can they go and tell? How can they preach unless they are sent? Who will send us? This is the question that was being asked that led to the formation of All Nations Bible Translation, as young people were wondering, okay, we'd like to be involved in this work of translating the scriptures, but how will we, who will send us? Our churches don't know how to do Bible translation, but just take a moment to think, who will send? Who is supposed to send? If we go to the book of Acts, you're going to get there soon in your Sunday schools, Lord willing, but it says this about Paul and Barnabas. Now, notice, Paul had been chosen long ago by God, set apart as an apostle, and said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, to the nations. Whoa, what does that mean? But nothing happened. Paul was not sent until the church, God told the church to send him. And so, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Who sends? Well, the church sends. Now, it's actually a different word than the next send. The first one about they sent them away is a little bit more of a, they let them go. They released them. They blessed them, you know, fasted, prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them. Now, the next word, so being sent out by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was the power behind it, who was propelling them out, and being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went from place to place. Who sends? Well, God sends by His Holy Spirit and the church. The church sends when God says, send. So you are the senders. If Ayana is going to go, you need to send her. We, as an organization, we focus, our function is Bible translation, but we are not a church planting organization. We are not a sending organization. We're facilitating. We work alongside of the church. And as we look at the book of Acts, we don't see organizations planting churches. We don't see organizations sending. We see the church sending. And under the church's direction and blessing, church planters are planting churches. That's what Paul was doing. So here's our mission statement that emphasizes, maybe I'll just read the whole thing, that God may be glorified among the nations, which is where we started. ABT exists to assist the church by providing a platform to train, to mobilize, train, and equip missionary teams to evangelize unreached people groups, translate the scripture, and plant indigenous churches that follow the teachings of Jesus and the principles of His kingdom. In this, ABT works with churches and teams who acknowledge the present-day reality of the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus as King, and allegiance to Him. We proclaim a gospel that calls people to serve and obey Jesus. Churches who recognize that true faith and love result in a lifestyle that is separated unto God. A culture that is set apart even within its own culture. That's not saying that in every culture the church is going to look exactly alike. We'll talk more about that later. But it is saying that in every culture the church will be different from that surrounding culture. It'll be set apart, separated unto God. Our church planting model is a team on the field consisting of an Old Testament translator, a New Testament translator, and a community development facilitator, and other team members who work along with them. Now, this community development could be towards sustainability could be in agriculture, could be financial, economical, it could be literacy related. A community who doesn't know how to read the scripture won't get a lot of value out of a translated word. And all of these, in every aspect, there will be folks who are able, who have some experience and are able to come alongside and help. So in translation, there are translation consultants. And in literacy work, there are literacy consultants. Had to throw that one in. And the goal of all of this working together is a maturing church, an indigenous church. That's the term that we use. Indigenous simply meaning from the local ground, from the local community. It's natural in its own setting. And not a church that depends on foreigners to make it run. Not a church that depends on foreigners to send the stuff that they need, the resources, locally available resources, and not a church that just automatically adopts all the ways of doing church that the people who planted it, where they might have come from. But a church that is able to go on without foreigners. And so the foreigners are there to work themselves out of a job in planting a church. Now, who are the unreached? Traditionally, at ABT, we have chosen to define the unreached as the people groups where there is little or no scripture translated into their language and no viable church. We wanted to focus on those places where, like Paul said, Christ has not yet been named. The fields that are not yet touched. The orchards where the low-hanging fruit hasn't... Well, I'll say it this way. Picture the world as an orchard, and the low-hanging fruit's already been picked. We want to be willing to do the climbing. There are, though... Fewer and fewer of those totally untouched, uncontacted peoples in the world today. And so many places where translation hasn't been done, somebody has gone as a missionary. Many places where there's not really a church, there is some scripture that's translated into their language. And so those are some of the things that we're wrestling with, along with some of the churches that we partner with. What is the scope of our work, the kind of the limit of people groups that we will focus on. I don't know if you can see that. Probably not. Well, actually, I did decide I'm in a pretty good place right here, right? Can you see past me? Okay. This is just the administration of All Nations Bible Translation last month. We gathered and had a lot of things on the table to talk and pray over, a really good time of fellowship. And those are some of the things that we're working on now. In fact, a couple of us are traveling to Colombia later this week to meet with the brothers who have been doing an investigation there. We want to try to understand and work through some of these questions. How do we decide what are the people groups that we're going to send teams to? And since there are other people, maybe native missions or ministries or individuals who would like to also help with that, how can we, and to what extent can we work with them in things that have to do with church planting and scripture translation? So it's exciting times, but it's times of understanding what the Lord is saying to us, how he's leading us. So some of the things, I'll just run through some of the things that we do. And starting with what we call sending church encounters. Since we are working with churches, a lot of time, a lot of gas money goes into getting around to the churches that we partner with. That's why we're here today. It's just a joy to be with you, and we're planning to meet and do this more specifically tomorrow evening with the leadership team here and those who are Ayana's more direct support team from among you, primarily the Zimmermans, and just talk about this partnership, how it should look, how it's going to work. And so we invest in that very purposefully. We, not only are the folks who are getting ready to go, not only do they need training, but those of us at administration are learning as well. So this course by Ethnos 360 is called Wyoming and is nearby State College where we live. And they, Ethnos 360 is formerly New Tribes Mission. May be familiar with them. They are a mission who is focused on church planting, and they've developed an approach to that that incorporates Bible translation where necessary, but a very successful approach to that, a thorough approach that acknowledges from the beginning, if you know what the end goal is, you want the mature church in that community, well then how are you going to start from the beginning? And how are you going to walk through it? What are the steps? And they have taught us a lot. So we all went and took their course here about a year ago. We're very inspired with that. I'm not sure I may not have a slide in here about that, but one of the things that they emphasize is to fit the story of the gospel. The gospel is a story, and it's a big story. Tell the whole story and tell it from the beginning for people to really grasp the story of Jesus. If they want to understand the Lamb of God, well, there's some background to that. They need to know. Well, let's go back. Who is God? And how did this world come into being? And where did we come from? And what are we here for? And how did we get into the mess that we're in, the shape that we're in, that we even needed a Lamb of God? And what does this lamb metaphor, what is it all about? And so the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the shedding of blood, the atonement, God purifying for himself a people to dwell among that can be his and he can be their father. This whole story, beginning from the beginning, is laying the foundation for the day when we say, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Another part of training is the Summer Institute of Linguistics. And they don't just relax there, but I think this is on a Sunday. So they do take at least part of one day off for some worship and socializing. That's 9 weeks each summer. Anybody who's going to be a translator needs to be there at least 2 summers. And if you want to know more about that, ask your sister over here. Then as in team formation, one of the things that we've begun to do is team compatibility assessments. We bring together potential team members who are interested in going together to a certain location. Often, so ideally, the work that's happening in a people group would be the outreach of a congregation. That's the ideal. As one church says, okay, we're going to adopt this vision. We're going to plant a church in East Kalimantan of Indonesia, among those Kutai. But usually, there's not a full team coming from one congregation, and so they come from various congregations. And ABT feels like it's in our place then to facilitate this. Okay, is this going to work? Or more, the bigger question is more, how can we make it workable? These people would like to work together. Okay, to facilitate that, we're going to bring them together, and we've formulated, with the help of others, a number of questions that say, who are you, what are you like, and what do you really expect? You probably hadn't thought about this, but what do you really expect of working together with the team in close quarters? And one of the best ways to find out what your expectations were is to have to be on the field for a while with another family and realize that they didn't meet your expectations. And then you're like, oh, you know, I was kind of assuming that so-and-so and so-and-so, and this is really how I operate best. Okay, well, let's get all those things out on the table right at the beginning before we even finalize that commitment that we are going to go together. So team compatibility assessment, that's the point of that. All of this training culminates with what we call phase two training. Phase one training, we just do simply an orientation. And then our phase two training, we bring them back to ABT and spend some time as a team right before they go to the field with prayer, some strategizing, thinking ahead, and some team dynamics work, and finishing up any training that they have yet to do, preparing to go to the field. One of the new things that's planned for this year is ABT Camp Week. We're going to bring together all the members, those who are in training, and anybody who's available from on the field, and we're going to begin to do this annually. And a feature of that is on the final day, we want to invite, encourage, sending team leaders, sending church leaders to come and be a part of that event. So may talk to you, or Ayanna may talk to you, some of you, about that eventually. Where are the places that teams are focusing on? There's actually a prayer card in the brochure that we have at the back that would list those, that you can be praying for those. It's changing, however. I'm going to just run through a quick introduction to some of these. In southern Mexico, even though that's where Wycliffe has been working for years and years, Wycliffe Bible translators, there's still dialects of these language groups without a translation. And so a family moved down there 2 years ago and have slowly been gaining access, gaining the confidence of one of the villages of the Yolosochtl Mixtec. And they're living there now in that village. For a while they lived more in a Spanish town and they would go out in and visit while they began to build relationship, kind of build trust. Those people are not quick to open their arms wide to newcomers from outside, so it takes time. And so they've been learning language and working with some experienced Wycliffe consultants that aren't far from there working in a similar dialect, so a blessed resource that we have there. Ethan and Lene are good enough now in Mixtec that they were able to translate a little song and sing it when we were out at their church recently. All right, the Tarahumara of Mexico in the Copper Canyon region. I find that many people are familiar with that region. I guess Ayanna was not far from there once upon a time in orphanage. But there are over 100,000 of these people in that region, and we've been asked if we couldn't find someone to go and help do translation. There is translation being done for the more major dialect, but there remains some smaller dialects in some of the villages without scripture. In Nicaragua, the situation is happening there similar to what happened in our own country years ago, where the indigenous peoples are kind of being taken advantage of, pushed off of their lands, their territories, violated in various ways. They're on the verge of what looks like it could become an ethnic war. But these Mayangna people, there are some Christians among them. There's a brother by the name of Ben Solomon who has been living among those people for over 15 years. And in the last 5 years or so, he married one of their girls. And along with her father, who's a sincere Christian. They've been working to begin translating the scriptures. And it's trying times for them. But they had started kind of on their own, and then more recently asked if they could join ABT and work with us and help facilitate the training that we could get for them and so forth. So we're joining with them in that effort. They're a church that's sponsoring them is in Washington State. And what you see on the lower right, lower left-hand corner is them working together with a brother from Wycliffe who is helping them out with some consultation in their translation work. Dear, experienced brother who just will not stop. He just keeps going and going. He's a real inspiration to us. All right, in Africa, West Africa, there are several groups in focus. The Dende of Benin, the Fulani of Niger, and in Indonesia, in the East Kalimantan area of Borneo, is the Kutai. And Lord willing, there will be a team a year from now there, and probably we'll send a team in two parts. Not quite our standard three, but two serving here and two serving here. They'll be a little more broken up that way, not attract quite so much attention, and be able to work simultaneously on the Old and New Testament. So it's still taking shape. It's interesting to watch how the Lord brings things together piece by piece when we just don't know what's going to happen. Colombia. We've been spearheading, as an organization, a lot of research there. Two families that are down there and working with a Colombian native brother as well, visiting a number of communities. And I've commented on that already. I'm not going to say a lot more, but there are some wide open doors and some that may need to be pushed open a bit, but we're still waiting on teams. We have a number of people preparing that aren't quite ready to go yet. So, and more recently, one of our teams has been focusing on on north, looking north. We often look south or east-west, and we don't really often look up to Canada, but there remain some of those indigenous peoples without scripture in their language there in Canada as well. I'll just comment that on the back table, we have a sign-up form. Now, I think you all should be getting our newsletters regularly here as a congregation, probably getting them distributed. If not, I'll make sure that happens. But anybody who would like to get an email, we send those out monthly, just an email update. We've also started a blog recently, so welcome to sign up back there to receive those or just go online and sign up. I don't know if you can read that, but Explore ABT is what we're calling an event also happening in May, and we'd welcome some of you to just come and learn a lot more about this work and what's happening and how it works and what all is involved. It could be a way to bless and support Ayana as well. On the back table, you can pick up a CD, the history of the English Bible. You see, 500 years ago, we didn't have scripture in our language either. And we went to church and listened to it in Latin and maybe understood it and maybe didn't. But some people believed that every person should be able to hear God speak in the language of their own hearts. And that's an inspiring story. Let that grip you and you can understand and begin to care about more about the people of the world who's still in that condition. Also on the back table, I'm just kind of going through some of the things that are back there. You can pick up a prayer support booklet. Neil Parolo has written about supporting your missionary, and he has a whole chapter on prayer support that he gave us permission to reprint so we can share it with you. And take one of those. It's very good reading. Very interesting reading, and it will inspire you to not allow your missionary to be on the front lines by themselves, but you can be there right along with them in the spiritual battle. Just closing this section with a statement the Lord made, "As I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." We talked about the glory of God, the heavens showing His glory, and God says someday the whole earth will declare my glory, and He's talking about all the peoples of the earth. Maybe let's just take a wee break here, stand and sing the chorus, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." This is a beautiful prayer for God's way to be done on earth. If you know that, let's sing it. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Amen. Thanks. You can be seated. So I want to share some blessings with you. I feel unworthy to do this. I wish that we had Brother Joe Root here. A couple of weeks ago, we were sharing with a church in Virginia that's sending, and Joe Root was with us. Brother Joe is a pastor from the first congregation that sent a missionary with ABT, and he does really well at articulating a vision to send and bless. And he shares 12 points of encouragement for sending churches. And so I'm going to borrow from him this morning and share these 12 points with you. I'm encouraged on my part that I'm talking to a congregation that is engaged in sending. I can see that, and I'm told that. Really appreciate that. So just want to encourage you this morning as we think about being senders, being a sending church. And so I have a few notes here. Maybe I'll flip this open. I want to start with just telling a little bit about where Ayana finds herself in ABT at this point. When she joined, we kind of had an outline or a model that said, okay, we have a place for Old Testament translators, New Testament translators, and a community development that's probably, you know, medical work or agriculture, something like that. And so Ayana chose to work with Hebrew Old Testament translation. And as some of you have been close to her and her story, but she realized it's okay to be battling up the creek, but if you're battling up the wrong creek, then you might not be getting where you want to go. And we had a good time waiting on the Lord together and seeing what... It was a good testing, stretching time, I think, for her, but to see what really was the direction, how he wanted her to be, what was her place of serving at ABT. And she found literacy. Now, how many of you know how to read? That's a pretty strong percentage, actually. I don't know what the percentages are in some of these places that we just looked at here, but it's not that high. And one of the keys to a maturing church, an indigenous church that's able to go on without depending on foreigners telling them everything, is to be able to take the Word of God and refer to it anytime, any part of it, any place, and see what God says. So literacy is one of the backbones of a mature church. Now we could debate that, but experience has shown this is important. This is very helpful, and it's very worth investing in. So my encouragement is simply that this is new for us. It's been what happened is as an organization, we didn't have anybody focusing on literacy. We weren't quite sure what to do with it, but God sent along a very spunky lady to kind of pioneer this for us. And so, yeah, thank God. We still don't quite know what it's going to look like. But probably Ayana will settle with a church planting team for a while, maybe 5 years, and work through a literacy program with that people group. And having completed that and actually getting some experience, she might be ready to become the butterfly. We talk about a butterfly flitting from place to place, from field to field, and providing some consultancy for other teams who are doing church planning and translation. In various stages along the way, there are steps that they can be doing in relation to literacy that Ayana will be able to say, okay, I have some tools for you and some ideas and can help you with that. So that's a little bit of what we're looking at. My encouragement to you is give her a chance sometime to stand up here and share about that with you. And as you're doing that, my encouragement is to embrace this opportunity as a church vision. That's the point number one of the dozen points that I want to share briefly this morning. Embrace this as a church vision. Consider the power and influence of a stable, functional, biblical, loving church uniting together in local ministry and global ministry. So much better, the multiplication of what individuals can do on their own. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Secondly, God bless you as you consider that all parts of the body are important. And again, sorry, Ayana, you're not the most important person here. Now, when God spoke to the folks at Antioch, he told them to separate certain ones out for certain callings. They were to be separated out, but the rest were called to go where they were. And each of you has a place. Some may focus more locally. Some may focus more globally. But each of you needs to focus both and be a part of, whether it's in prayer or in other practical ways, being a part of building God's kingdom and God's church here and around the world. We have been given so much. And I'm going to borrow from Brother Joe again. There's two things that we tend to take for granted that are super blessings. And you're enjoying them this morning. And one is this, the Word of God. And one is this, the church, the local church. Don't take those blessings for granted. But we've been brought into this tremendous blessing, not for our own benefit, but in order that through us, God can extend that very blessing, those very blessings, to those who still don't have it. And I suppose that there are people, even in this 75-mile circle of Mennonites, Amish, whatever, there are some who don't have those blessings. I think you can find them. So every part of the body is important. You do have a part to play. You are a member of the body of Christ. It's not you staying here and just warming the bench while Ayana and Levans and whoever else goes. Thirdly, God bless you as you consider an indigenous church effort. We wrestle with that. The idea that a church can be allowed to grow up from within its own culture and find the ways of expressing the values of God and His kingdom in ways that don't quite match what worked for us in our setting. Now, it's important we acknowledge what works for us in our setting and don't just throw that all away because the Bible doesn't say this or that. There is value in those things. But the systems and methods that we've built up because they work for us and we need them may not work for them. Brother Joe, again, loves to tell the story of Acts 10 and following. Peter had this problem. The whole I think as you study the book of Acts, you should have in mind that one piece of the framework in which to understand this book is that the story it's telling is the breaking out of the gospel from within Judaism into all the nations and the wrestling through this. How does this work? But you see, soon after Cornelius, let's think about Cornelius a little bit. Peter did some things that were considered rather unorthodox. Actually, like completely unorthodox. And he had to go back, it was referred to in our class this morning, he had to go back to Jerusalem and, "You did what?" Well, Ayana, sometimes you just need to objectively start at the beginning and tell the story. That's what Peter did. But soon you find people scattering and going, and as they went everywhere they preached, they told the good news of Jesus, and they guess who they told it to? The Jews. Everywhere they went. But then there were some who went further. All the way up to Antioch. Antioch, this huge, bustling metropolitan, this, I think, the third largest city in the empire. And a cultural crossroads, cross-cultural opportunities, just a melting pot, this urban community. And here they went. And what did they begin to do? Preach to the Gentiles. And so this church in Antioch that we talked about already this morning was a very different looking congregation than back at Jerusalem. But they served the same Lord. And some of those deep values and the loyalty to the Lord Jesus and His kingdom was the same. So, and as Paul continued, I'll quote Brother Joe. He likes to say, Paul went to Macedonia and then he went on to Greece. So Thessalonica was not Philippi. You know, Thessalonica, that Greek town. Philippi, that Roman colony. Philippi was not Antioch. Antioch was not Jerusalem. These were indigenous churches. Fourthly, consider the Romans 10 chain. I talked about that this morning. The chain of whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved, but whosoever may not know. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they going to believe in whom they haven't heard? How are they going to hear unless someone goes and tells them? And how are they going to hear unless you do your part? Maybe Ayana can go without you. But if she's going to be effective, well, let's make it a team effort. And if she's going to last. So God bless you as you, fifthly, take ownership of the work, of the effort. It's the term we like to use these days to mean, okay, like this is ours. We're actually going to embrace this thing and make it our project. Consider it your work to work towards stable churches in these foreign cultures through literacy. And ownership has a little word own in it. In Acts, I'm borrowing from Brother Joe this beautiful illustration, but this is even before Antioch, the apostles were taken before the council and they were beaten and had suffered for the name of Jesus because they were testifying of him. And what did they do after that? They went back to their own company. And anyone who is out there needs to know who their own company is and be able to come back to them. So it's own Ayana. Take her as your own. She's ours. She's out there, but she's ours. We're looking after her. God bless you as you learn to work together with other churches. Maybe Joe's phrase is as you work with among different administrations. I don't know if that's what Ephesians 4, whatever it is, means when it says there are differences of administration. But we know that there are differences of administration among churches. And we don't throw everything aside that identifies us as who we are just so that we can work with others. And we think about the values that are at the core so that we understand who we can work with. But the illustration that Brother Joe likes to use, I'm going to share it with you this morning again. Just supposing that a fire would break out here in the auditorium or, you know, somehow here close by and endanger the lives of some of your children. Don't you think there would be a fairly concerted effort to get the fire out and get those children out of there? Do you suppose that some might look at another and say, you're Mennonite, I'm not sure, you just stay over here, we'll take care of this. You're Beachy, you're, you know, whatever it is. No, there's something about the urgency of the task that tells us we have to work together to get it done. The problem is that we have lost sight of the urgency of the task. We've not quite comprehended. We've become okay with the fact that it's taken us over 2,000 years to do what God told us to do, what Jesus left us to do. And we have the resources to accomplish it. We've allowed the enemy to distract us. So, Moving on, number seven, God bless your church as you engage in prayer support. Two-way prayer support. The congregation at Ellensburg, Washington, where Joe Root comes from, they sent Ethan and Lene to Mexico. And they keep up with the needs that Ethan and Lene sense, and they pray for them regularly. But there's another side of that. Ethan calls and says, so what are the needs there so we can pray for them? You know, care for each other. It's not, I told you already, Ayana, you're not the most important one. They're doing a very important work back here too. Pray for them and find out how to do it effectively. But do pray for her and do pray for that work. Number eight, God bless your church as you offer spiritual and emotional support. As you walk alongside, some of you will be closer in this for sure. But then they can share with all the rest what's appropriate. This is warfare. Don't leave her alone on the front lines. God bless your church as you support financially. Now, in all of these things, ABT will step up to the plate and help too. But we're not the first in line. We'll do our part. But, you know, Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And something about what you do with your money determines where your heart goes. So ponder that. God bless you as you support through occasional or appropriately timed visits. This isn't a situation where you just are letting someone go to some mission, and that mission is going to make sure that she's all taken care of, and that mission's going to visit her regularly. Now we might visit her regularly. But like I said, you are first in line. You take that initiative. We don't want to steal that blessing from you. We'll try to get in on it too, but you lead the way. God bless you as you communicate proactively. As you call her up, hey, you don't have to even call these days. You can. Might be middle of the night over there or something, so you can find ways to communicate, but find out how it's going. Keep in touch. And not only so, I'll refer back to the example of Brother Joe's congregation. They have somebody assigned to send materials from the church, maybe an outline that was used in a sermon or Bible study, maybe a recording of an extra good message, maybe, you know, keep them engaged with the home church. And I have a feeling Yana will do her part, staying in touch with you all. But you need to do that too. 12th, God bless you as you practice the spirit of Romans 16. There's a model here in Romans 16. I want to read to you a little bit from this chapter. Think about what it is to be a congregation that works together. Think about the place of each one. Think about your place. The Romans 16 model. Paul is writing to one of his churches, not even one that he planted probably. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. So we have, she's helped these many people. Paul says, you be sure to help her too. Helping, a culture of helping one another. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who have risked their own necks for my life. To whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. You see, it wasn't just Paul that accomplished all of this. He gets the focus. He was out there. Mary labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in the Lord, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelleus, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. I don't think Paul was egocentric in his mission work, as we call it. You know, he didn't look down his nose on the church back home and say, "Huh," or these other churches. Yeah, I'm the one who's out here building the kingdom. What are they doing? No, he acknowledged and blessed them in what they were doing. But they were doing. That's the point here. They were laboring on his behalf with him. They were laboring for the kingdom of God. And this final verse, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Rufus's mother was like a mother to Paul. Now, imagine this great apostle Paul, this dynamic, brave, bold preacher of the gospel who traveled all over the place and had many, many people that he discipled and evangelized and brought into the kingdom. And here, he needed somebody to be kind of like a mom to him. Or the Lord gave him somebody like that. So, how much more might not your sister need that too? So my encouragement again is all of you have a place in the local and the global building of God's kingdom. And if you'll stand, I want to lead you in prayer, and then I'll turn the time back over to Brother Keith. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the work that you are doing here, the work that you will continue to do. And I ask, Father, that this will be a congregation of laborers, of fellow laborers, committed to each other and committed to you, committed to working for your kingdom. Father, that they will be committed to the vision of seeing unchurched and unreached people right here and around the world being brought into your kingdom through local churches. Pray this will be a reality as you pour out the blessing of your Spirit here, Father. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.